This guy was, I would have got chewed up and spit out. Like, I don't know what would have happened. But God, our church family was praying for me. My mom was praying for me. This detective was praying for me. And I was unaware that anything was even going on. And I hitchhiked to Oshawa to visit a girlfriend. And then I was going to go right back to Toronto. Well, my friend went behind my back and told my mother where I was. And she came down to the arcade downtown Oshawa and collared me and turned me in to the police. And I ended up in a group home called McNeil House. And I turned 16 while living there. And I had a good rapport with the staff. Like, no matter where I ended up, God gave me favor with the people there. And he gave me a love for people. Even though I was mistreated, I never became jaded, and I never became hard. I always had a tremendous love for people. Although I was naive and I trusted the wrong people, but God, he kept me. I'm sure of that. 3 days before I was released from the group home, I got an unsupervised pass to go to a school dance. I was the second person to ever go through there to get one of these. I didn't go to the dance. I didn't even go into the school. I met my friends outside the school and went to their place to get drunk. And I ended up in the hospital with alcohol poisoning. And I could have ended up back in trouble with the law. I could end up in reform school. The staff of the group home didn't report it to my probation officer and wanted me to get a fresh start. I was supposed to move in with my father, actually, when I was released from there. And because of this thing that I did, he absolutely refused. And actually, that was an awful time, too. He came to the house to let me know all the reasons why not, and it was ugly. It was really ugly. And when I was released, I went back to live with my mom, and that lasted for about a month. And then I left home, thinking, okay, I'm old enough. I can be on my own. I'm 16 now. The age was 16 then. It's 18 now, but it was 16 then. And I went and I joined the carnival with a friend of mine. We worked with the carnival for the summer. And we were hanging out with some really sketchy characters. Like, I'm still amazed that nothing worse ever happened. But after the summer, we ended up in Belleville, and she ended up going to a mall and shoplifting and was arrested. And so now I was in a strange town by myself. I didn't know anybody. And the friend that we had made, Rana, she ended up in a foster home. Her mother had passed away. And her father was a police officer, actually. And I snuck into their garage every night to sleep in their garage. Well, he came out one night in the middle of the night and found me sleeping out there. And woke me up, and what am I doing there? And he actually started explaining to me why he'd put his daughter in a foster home as he's kicking me out. And he was crying, and I was actually trying to comfort him as he's kicking me out. And so I ended up in Belleville at a donut shop in the middle of the night. And this guy, really good-looking guy actually, a lot older than me, came up to me and asked me if I wanted to go take a walk with him and smoke a joint. And I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I had no fear of anything. And I trusted everybody. And I started walking down the street with this guy. And before I knew it, all the streetlights were gone. And we're headed down towards the water. And I know that it was the Holy Spirit that let me know I was in a bad place and I shouldn't be there and something bad was about to happen. So I was formulating a plan in my head, how do I get away from this guy? So I was like, oh, you know what? Ha, 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 I'm really thirsty. I need to go and get something to drink. I'm going to go back. As soon as I stopped walking, it's like I saw a change come over his face. It was so scary. I'd never been that scared in my life up to that point. And I just turned around and started running. And I mean, it hadn't been too long since I'd been a track and field star, and I could go like the wind, right? So I started running and thought, okay, I'm okay now. When I turned around, he was chasing me. So I ran back to the donut shop where I started. It's, you know, by this time, 4:30 in the morning. The lady that worked there was the only person there. And I went in hysterical. No sign of the guy, but I mean, that was a really close call. I know that that was maybe almost the end of me. Who knows? But God knows. And I know that even then he was keeping me. He had a plan for my life. I wasn't living for him, but he had a plan for me up the road a piece, and he wanted me to still be there. There was a few years of partying, and I moved from one person's house to another person's house, and by the time I was 19, I was living with my boyfriend. I had a steady job, but I was an alcoholic. I was smoking drugs every day, and I had also started doing cocaine with needles. I ended up only through the grace of God, quitting that by myself with no rehab or anything. I lost interest in it. And I don't hear too many people say that. And I know that that was a miracle too. And I still did some serious drugs on and off for about 10 years, but I had stopped using needles, and I broke up with my boyfriend at that time. But then within a year, I was living with my next boyfriend, and the drinking was still a problem. And I was still smoking drugs every day, and I couldn't even see that it was a problem. It was just part of my life. That was part of my day. And it was destroying my relationship. I couldn't see that. So I, you know, broke up with him, got back together with him, broke up with him, got back together with him. My drinking was out of control. Then I started working in a bar, and that was another bad choice, but I couldn't see that at the time because I was making really good money. But every night after the bar, I'd be out partying with this group of people, that group of people. So that, you know, isn't very good for a relationship. So I ended up breaking up with my boyfriend at the time, and a little later on, I met a man that wasn't a drinker, but he was into drugs, and he was a very violent man and had no respect for women at all. But I thought I loved this guy. And I thought that loving somebody is enough to change them. You can change this person if you love them enough. And I ended up marrying him. Like almost 7 years of going through all this with him, I married him, knowing it was the wrong thing to do. I stood before God and married a man that I knew God didn't want for me. I wasn't asking God what he wanted for me. I was just thinking I knew better, which is also ridiculous. The marriage, also, On my honeymoon, I cried through my whole honeymoon. I knew immediately I had made a huge mistake. I'd ended up doing intravenous drugs again with him, but it was synthetic heroin this time. And I also ended up walking away from that with no rehab, no counseling, no nothing. I got tired of it. You know, it wasn't for me anymore. So I know that was a miracle too. I lasted in my marriage just over 3 years, and I left and went back a few times. And when I finally meant business and left, I was being stalked, and I got really scared because of the prior abuse, and he'd threatened to kill me and was actually trying to buy a gun. And so I called the police and had him arrested, and I was to be notified about his court date because I'd prepared a statement to read in the court to the judge to try to keep him in jail, because I knew if he was not in jail, I would just always be looking over my shoulder. I'd always be scared. I was terrified of him. And they didn't notify me. They let me know after the fact that he'd been released for time served. And I knew also that he didn't know exactly where I was, but he knew what city I was living in. So I ended up moving to Scarborough, moving in with a friend. And that turned into another relationship that was a toxic relationship. We were always drinking together and smoking drugs together, and it was a constant fight. It was a constant battle, and it was miserable. It was miserable. I was working, so I was a functional alcoholic, if you can call that a thing, but it was a poison relationship. And the factory that we worked in closed, and I had said, since I'd vacationed out west in my late 20s, that I was going to end up back there. I fell in love with the mountains. And I moved out west with a man that made me miserable. And the drinking got even worse. But that relationship lasted for 4 years. And it was a kind of relationship where the police were being called. There was things being broken in the house all the time. There was yelling and screaming. It didn't turn really physical until the end of it. But, I mean, it shouldn't have been a surprise to me that that was going to happen. I was, again, convinced that if I showed somebody enough love, I could change them. And I wasn't looking to the Lord of what He wanted in my life. I was trying to do it on my own. And I had made such a mess that I remember actually sitting in the bathroom one night crying and asking God to kill me because I couldn't stand it. I didn't even want to live anymore. It was that miserable.